Yeah.
Okay, great. Nice to have Bristol from the West Country here. So Tony, ladies and gentlemen, or comrades, is a leading independent journalist and investigator. I've come across Tony initially over the 9/11 work and his website, and he also runs a radio show, a weekly radio show, amongst others. So, Tony, maybe you can introduce yourself, but your topic is on 30 Minutes on Heaven Under Siege, Beginning of the End, COVID-19 Psychological, Economic and Biological Warfare. Over to you, Tony. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Maureen. And first of all, I suppose I should talk a little bit about Maureen and I's work on the 9/11 campaign. This really started around about 2003 when Ian Henshaw and Ian Neal in London started to pull together a group. And I first met them, I think it was at the TUC conference, actually. And we then started, I suppose, what you could call a kind of formal UK 9/11 truth campaign. And I think it's great to hear also Clive really focusing on the money side. And this obviously has been something that goes through the whole of history. So my attitude to this is that it's something very similar to the September the 11th attacks. As someone who worked in the early 1990s in mainstream media, my job was as a researcher and as a reporter at the BBC, and I worked in central London. Actually, part of my work was in Broadcasting House, working in places like the News Information Department and other services which were to do with news and current affairs, where journalists were given a bit of time. I was working on documentaries too for a local station, Greater London Radio, and given access to these parts of what they call network broadcasting, network television and network radio, which was based at Broadcasting House. So, you know, going through all that. And what the one thing that I would say is when you get to go in front of a microphone and you're actually broadcasting to potentially millions of people, we had a very popular station in London, extremely popular, Greater London Radio, you think before you speak, and at least you should do. And one of the things I've noticed is that the BBC people don't seem to anymore, the voices I hear and the faces I see, don't have any kind of idea that there might be somebody that might pull them up on what they're saying. They're talking to an audience which is, I feel, completely detached. So they're talking down to people. It's like from an ivory tower. Whereas where I was there in the 90s, there were still many people around who saw it as a public service that they were doing. So that's the main thing I'd say, is that I recognise that an enormous similarities between the cascades of lies that came out after the September the 11th attacks, the attempt to bamboozle the public, just basically beat and smash people into submission through lie after lie after lie, repeated lie. And, you know, as we saw with the 9/11 footage of the collapse of the Twin Towers, for example, the idea to traumatise people. This, of course, is all talked about by Naomi Klein in the shock doctrine, the idea that it's basically like giving people an electric shock and then be able to change attitudes in society as a result. Excuse me, the global war on terror wouldn't have been possible without this. Okay, so Clive mentioned a bit about that, you know, the smoking guns, things like the Israelis hanging around ready to film the Twin Towers and things like that. So one of the things that I've done during this lockdown, and I've entitled this Beginning of the End, Heaven Under Siege, is get out three books as PDFs, which have been commissioned from me for quite a while ago, but had never actually managed to make it into print for various reasons. Publishers having you know, people die on them and having financial trouble, things like that. So it's a lot of what I'm going to talk about now is about books and about specific books. And I'll put a book list I'm going to put a little Word document for people, which I've put together, which has got a book list on there as well. But I was very pleased to see that right on cue, I've been looking around for a book about the biology of this plandemic. And Greg Felton is in Vancouver, Canada. He's a former mainstream journalist. He now works most of the time as a teacher of English as a foreign language. But he's like me. It may be being elbowed out of the profession because he tells the truth and he serves the public. And Greg Felton has written a book called SARS-CoV-2, which, of course, was the original name of this virus. And the name was changed to take SARS out of the title, which is very significant, as you may read in the book, etc. And it's subtitled Contagion, Collusion, Corruption. And it's actually being printed this weekend, and it's available for the first time next week. So I also pick up on what Clive was saying about farming humanity. I think he's absolutely right. Our cities are becoming people farms. So the idea is that the people in those cities are directed by a higher power, higher force, and there's a kind of sham democracy. I'm sitting here in Bristol speaking to you now, which is a former Templar port, and we have a very strong organisation in our city called the Merchant Venturers, which the families that formed the Merchant Venturers financed John Cabot's trip to discover North America, supposedly discover it, back in 1497. And then once they realized what they had over there, they formed the society to exploit America. They then, which led to the genocide of something like 50 million Native Americans, possibly more. And then the slave trade, which the Merchant Venturers were still very much involved with. And incredibly, they're still most active today. We as journalists can't scrutinize them because all of their accounts and details come only you can only get them if you're a member of the Privy Council. So it comes under a royal charter. It's almost impossible to scrutinise what they're doing. So I think it's quite clear to me that there is this oligarchy that likes to use the idea of a sham democracy to rule us. And why not, just play with us, do what they want. And in order to change things, they're using psychological warfare, which is why I put in the title psychological warfare is an important aspect of all of this. So the smoking guns of 9/11 we talked about as Building 7. There are others. But here I've identified two in this pandemic. One is the withdrawal of the use of chloroquine, particularly in Europe and the United States by the regulators, the crooked regulators, which led to the deaths, I would believe, of something like tens of thousands of people unnecessarily. Chloroquine was the standard drug, very cheap, out of patent, for use as a treatment of SARS, the first SARS outbreak, and yet it was prevented. Doctors were told not to use it for SARS in the West. Funnily enough, in Africa, places like that, and India, it was used a lot, and many, many, many lives were saved, but not in this part of the world. And that, to me, and that was withdrawn in January in France, in January, middle of January 2020. So that's before the COVID-19 outbreak was really supposed to exist. It was just a little tiny thing over in Wuhan in China. So there, to me, shows some pre-knowledge of what was going to happen, and also to try and make sure many people died, the government authorities doing that. Also, the German government and other governments mandated vaccinations for the first time. We reported this on our radio show in Bristol when we still were on the radio before we got removed from FM. Back in, I'm just looking up, and I'll put this is in the little notes here, on the 17th of July 2019. So we've got a lot of countries at the end of last year, including China, mandating vaccinations for the first time. And I reported that as quite a scary phenomenon. But apparently there's a movement in Germany that thinks this is fantastic. So these are obviously civil society movements, NGOs, which were preparing the ground for the idea of a mandatory vaccine. Also, the regulators here in Britain, the MHRA, have just approved the Pfizer mRNA vaccine, the gene editing vaccine. The Bilderberg woman, Emmanuelle Charpentier, and her CRISPR people, this is all genetic modification, genetic engineering humans, but they don't talk about it like that. So they're going in, they're genetically engineering your cells to produce the antigen in order to produce an immune response, but they don't tell you, is this going to stay in your blood vessels forever? We just don't know. Also, in the thing I'm going to circulate, there is quite a lot about Robert F. Kennedy's work on explaining just how appalling the Bill Gates Foundation's vaccine programs have been, particularly in the developing world. There's a documentary, just as an aside, there's a documentary called Cold Case Hammarskjöld, which was done by the Swedish state broadcaster. So I interviewed the producer earlier this year, and that explains that the far-right Saimar army, which assassinated the UN Director General, Dag Hammarskjöld, in 1961, was also involved in a fake vaccination program in Mozambique, where they were deliberately injecting thousands, even tens of thousands of black Africans deliberately with AIDS, and saying it was an AIDS vaccine, where actually it was just the AIDS virus. They were giving them AIDS. And these sorts of things are very little known, but you would have thought there would have been a big outcry about that, particularly from the Black Lives Matter type people, but it was pretty much suppressed. It went out once, that documentary, on BBC4 one evening, and then it quickly disappeared off the iPlayer. But yeah, if people want copies of that, you can get hold of me afterwards. And it's a fascinating documentary, which is devastating. So, psychological warfare. TV and radio. Well, since Brexit started to approach, we've been getting all these American voices on the BBC, not just on the World Service, on the domestic BBC network, radio and on television, enormous number of American voices. And there's a thing called the British American Project for the Successor Generation, which has been bringing together British broadcast producers, editors, managers, and American for many years. And most of you will probably know about something called Operation Mockingbird, which is where the CIA took control effectively of the editorial policy of all the big American TV and radio networks and the newspapers. When I say took control, they've got to leave a little bit of a free hand for journalists in order to make it look like it's not totally controlled. But they're subtly making sure that all the issues that they deem are important are specific issues, are completely controlled by them. So, you know, we've seen no criticism, for example, medical criticism of the response to the pandemic, which is absolutely appalling. It's also led to possibly tens of thousands of deaths. If there was a proper scrutiny going on in the press with professionals allowed to speak, then we wouldn't have had the removal of sick patients from our ordinary hospitals and been putting them back into care homes without being tested for the COVID virus. And again, potentially tens of thousands of people have died because of that decision, which wasn't allowed in the press to be scrutinized because of the very clear guidelines, or they say guidelines, but instructions from the Behavioural Insights team at Downing Street, Ofcom, and the broadcasters were told, this is very serious, this pandemic, you must do what the government says. And because of that, many, many people died. And one of the byproducts was I lost my radio show because I have a rather spineless manager, apparently. Then we got Brigade 77 being used. We just heard a couple of weeks ago that that they are going to be used as part of the British Army psychological warfare units in order to try and persuade people to take a vaccine which is potentially very dangerous. The MHRA, the regulators last year were hauled over the coals for approving the use of mesh for hernia operations and for women who have incontinence problems, but there'd been no actual evidence that this was safe, no testing done even. No proper testing done, and yet the MHRA approved the use of this mesh inside people's bodies. And there was an enormous scandal about it. And yet everyone seems to have forgotten that. The journalists are not talking about how utterly incompetent the regulators were in Britain this week when they approved the June Rain, who's their chief executive, approved the use of the Pfizer gene editing, human genetic engineering, the first one ever approved in the world, approved in Britain last week. So this is an incompetent organisation already proven. But it's incredible that the army are being told that they've got to back these people, really. And I would expect that there are a few out there that raise eyebrows when they're told to do this. Also, don't forget, there's a much bigger aspect of psychological warfare, which is the strategic communications world. Having spoken to strategic communications people, these are in private industry where former army-trained psychological warfare officers are then recruited into the private sector, working for people like strategic communication labs, and they then do things like fix elections. They will tell you who's going to win an election. They will make an election one way or another by using their psychological warfare techniques, but it's been privatized. And I've heard anecdotally that officers who are recruited into the private sector from the army can basically add a zero to their salary. So they're on something like 30 grand British pounds. And, you know, and we're talking about anything up to about $500,000 annual salary in the private sector using those skills. So that's psychological warfare for you. Economic warfare, well, the Great Reset is going to be interesting, isn't it, next year? This is almost another smoking gun in a way. The audacity and the chutzpah is incredible. The idea that you can create a global pandemic, plandemic, and then say, oh, well, because everything's going to get really bad and we're going to have an economic collapse potentially, we've already thought of that, and we're going to have our own new system replace the IMF, the World Bank, and the global financial infrastructure. Fascinating, but pretty cheeky, really. And so I thought I'd have a look here, and I'm going to be looking a bit more at Prince Charles in a minute, but at the evidence here that Prince Charles has been, I mean, this is something from the BBC itself, from the 7th of November 2017. The Paradise Papers, if you remember those, some very good investigative journalism done, digging out a whole load of offshore stuff. I mean, it's very rare that we see these kinds of things, actually. A lot of the accounts and the tactics of the oligarchy exposed. Very rare. So the article the BBC put out was Paradise Papers, Prince Charles's Offshore Investments Revealed. Well, that's a fairly innocuous sounding title, but what those offshore investments were, that part of Prince Charles's private estate, the Duchy of Cornwall, it was secretly investing in this offshore company, which was lobbying to change climate agreements. So what he's doing is he's interfering in these carbon trading credit system, something which is going to be rolled out as part of this Great Reset, it looks like. So he's already there in 2017 trying to prepare the way for having a role globally in the global financial system, a new system which is going to be sold on the idea that it's going to be green and an environmentally friendly system which is going to look after the environment. Of course, the downsides of it, which is this is an oligarchy's controlled system, a system of credit where people don't actually have anything of value. This is actually a move from the traditional financial system where people do have something. They actually do possess something of value, like gold or silver is the obvious thing to think of, and that they possess physical currency, cash, which they can use to exchange for that, over to a credit system, which is where they want to go with electronic money, things like that. And more of that is obviously being rolled out now. And that is the ancient Egyptian system. So we're going from a kind of Jerusalem-based Hebraic financial world into a Babylonian, Phoenician, Egyptian empire-style money world. That seems to me what the Great Reset is going to be about, you know, for at least looking at it from a bit of a spiritual point of view. So with the obvious thing to say here is that this is Ordo Ab Caio, right? I know David Livingstone has done a bit of work on the Scottish Rite Freemasonry. That's their motto. And the idea is to create the problem and then to come up with the solution, Ordo Ab Caio, to replace special drawing rights with carbon credits or something similar to that. I'm trying to use a bit of a crystal ball here, an intelligent, educated guesswork to see what's going to happen in April. Then I suppose the other aspect of this is the biological warfare side. The Pentagon goes to Wuhan. Well, that was an interesting one, wasn't it? So the gain of function research in the United States was closed down under Obama. Obviously, an absolutely diabolical kind of research. What they're trying to do with gain of function is to find deadly diseases and viruses, etc., and make them go from species to species. So, you know, this is an appalling thing to be even thinking about here, especially since we have a biological weapons ban. This is going on in the labs around the world. So that's really what we're talking about there. So the biological weapons labs, Wuhan. What were the Pentagon doing in Wuhan? Well, I'm going to actually cheat a little bit here and hand over to the guy who I interviewed last week, actually, this guy Greg Felton, and I'll put some links in our in the document that I share with you, which is the book called SARS-CoV-2 Contagion, Collusion, Corruption, because he's done an incredible job, Greg, over in Vancouver, in putting together all of the evidence that this is a man-made bioweapon. Of course, you know, this is something that isn't comfortable for the mainstream media to be looking at, isn't it? You know, because we've seen it's very uncomfortable for them, because we went to war in the Middle East over weapons of mass destruction, and yet here we have the Chinese and the United States Pentagon collaborating on the creation of COVID-19. The evidence for it being a bioweapon is very, very strong in terms of the from the virology institutes, and Greg has that in his book, which is he actually interviewed these virologists at New Delhi University that pulled apart the genome last week in January after it had been published by the Chinese, and explained that you've got these SARS and AIDS spike proteins on the coronavirus, which have been deliberately implanted into it. You know, the idea that this is something natural. They very politely said, well, it's unlikely to occur in nature. Well, that's an understatement. And they did a fantastic job. They then got very much lent on, these virologists in India, but not by Greg. He actually went and interviewed them and got the whole thing chapter and verse. So there we go, biological gain of function, completely diabolical. Okay, so what about the spiritual warfare? Well, this is something I think which only makes sense if you look at it in a very long time scale context. So secrecy versus openness, I think that's what we're looking at. And it's interesting to see how this pandemic as is dividing families, is dividing marriages, is dividing the whole of humanity, like a cell dividing. Like the sheep and the goats dividing, talked about in the Bible. And, you know, what we're seeing really is secrecy versus openness. So people who are prepared to have secret association, secret plans, versus people who have open association, as we are having now. Well, it's reasonably open. You know, that's why I do journalism. So I believe in openness. And I think that's the way to beat this is through good journalism. And really, really important to understand. One person that's really had a good look at all of the way the cults have worked over the centuries. Yeah, thanks. Is a guy called Tim Cohen, and his book is called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. What he does is he assigns the role of an antichrist to Prince Charles. And he says that effectively Charles is the white horse in Revelation. Then we've got the red horse in Revelation being the war. The black horse being an economic collapse. And the pale horse, the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, being disease, pestilence, and that sort of thing. So the key thing about the four horsemen is that this is a very clear signal by God to the whole of humanity who want to listen, that we're living in the end of the world. So that's why I entitled this thing A Beginning of the End, because, you know, obviously this isn't quite happening yet, but it certainly looks like part of the game in order to create it in the first place, to make it happen. So in that book, he talks about Charles, and he gives some very good reasons for it, which I won't go into now. But he's talking about his heraldic seal, and also that he's taking a big, important role in this great reset. And ultimately, though, he says that he believes, and he's a Jew who converted to Christianity. He says that ultimately Charles will be a sort of Israeli Messiah. So not really a Jewish Messiah, because he doesn't fit with the Old Testament version of the Messiah. Only Jesus does. But what is needed is a Messiah to fit in with a Zionist idea of Judaism, a Kabbalistic idea of Judaism. So the timeline, I put that in there too, and I run through some of the important changes over the centuries which have led to the cults and the occult coming from the creation of the conversion of Constantine in 313 AD to Christianity, supposedly. So up until then, the oligarchy was absolutely out there and ruling things, and then it went underground in 313 AD. And then there's all sorts of changes until we get to April 2021, where Queen Elizabeth II is due to retire, if you didn't know, when she reaches 95. Prince Charles will be passing the British throne, it looks like now, to William, and taking on a globalist world role in the Great Reset, which I just spoke about. So my book is actually called The Siege of Heaven, and you can get a free download off my Bilderberg.org website. The subtitle is How Breaking the Grip of Oligarchy Will Unleash the World's Human Potential. And I've also done another one, which is The Siege of Heaven Reader, which is a kind of book of extracts. It's a book of extracts, which are just little clips and snippets. The one I'll finally here mention is something called The Luciferian Philosophy. And this is by a guy called William Cooper, who was a radio host, former U.S. naval intelligence officer in Eager, Arizona, and he amazingly predicted the 9/11 attacks in July 2001 on his radio show, 3 months or whatever before the 9/11 happened. He said there's going to be a massive attack on the United States, and they're going to be blaming bin Laden. And he was joking that the CIA couldn't find bin Laden, but a little CNN camera crew had interviewed him. So he knew the way these people operate using psychological warfare and bamboozling the public. So I'll be including that in the paper. That's from the Siege of Heaven Reader, The Luciferian Philosophy. Any general who ventures upon a battlefield, he says, and we are talking about warfare here, spiritual warfare, any general that ventures upon a battlefield without understanding the enemy is doomed to defeat. And I think it better be, it's time for me to leave it there, I think. And thank you, everybody else, for listening. What I'll do is I'll share my little document for you in the chat afterwards. Absolutely finally, though, I will mention very quickly Ordo Ab Cao, Albert Pike, very interesting guy, and he basically put together the plans that I believe that the New World Order, the oligarchy, are now working to, in his 200-year-old letter predicting World War III and a final battle against Islam by the nihilists. And I would say the nihilists are basically the Christian Zionists and the Israeli Zionists together will be trying to battle Islam. And that's the war they're trying to push us into now. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. Tony, before you move away from you, that was excellent. You again talked about the philosophy, a philosophy of resistance. Not just being observers, which is important. Sorry, there's people joining. The philosophy of resistance was very important, and breaking the power of the oligarchy. So those points are very important, and obviously your the need to develop counter narrative. Obviously, one needs to congratulate you on your efforts through the radio show every week. And indeed, for those who don't know, Tony also runs a, a website called UK 9/11 Truth. And there's a lot of information there, not just on counter-narrative to 9/11, but also the global battle for truth vis-a-vis the New World Order.